You will open the Word of God to John chapter 20. The last time that I was with you, we were in John 19. This is Mike Moody, and we have been going through the Gospel of John. And we're about to conclude this study. And in John 19, by reminder's sake, speaks of the cross of Calvary, gives a survey of the cross of Calvary. When the Lord Jesus Christ was upon that cross, and as he was, we saw in that chapter events leading up to the cross, him on the cross, and after the cross with his burial. Now in John 20, we get into the area of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 20 and John 21, we have a unique way, I believe, of outlining the book. And after a word of prayer, we'll just look at that. Father, we pause again and ask that you would lead and go before us as we open your precious word and attempt to bring out truths from the eternal word of God. We thank you, Father, as it's the inspired word of God. And Father, again, just lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and thank you, Father, that he is the one in whom you have always been glorified by. Father, the one that you sent to do thy perfect will. We thank you, Father, in the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our portion of John 20 and 21, the time of the post-resurrected ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning the time after he had died and was buried and rose again, we see in this time leading up before he ascended back to heaven, we see in these chapters what we could call the four stands of the post-resurrected ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning that we see four different times the Lord Jesus standing, and in each of these four times we suggest that you find a different area of his service or his ministry since he has risen from the dead. It also pictures to us areas of his present ministry, things that he is doing now on our behalf as he has ascended back to the glory. We see a little glimpse of these things here during his post-resurrection time on the earth. Now, as we think of this, standing compared to sitting. What does this mean to you? When we think of the Word of God, we think of sitting as a time of rest or completion. We think of how in the Old Testament tabernacle, there was no furniture such as a chair. It was not a place that you could rest in. It was a place where sacrifices were made, a place that as in the Old Testament economy, it was a continual thing to have the sacrifices made for payment for sin. But yet, when Christ came and fulfilled the law, when Christ came and paid for the sin of the world, the one who knew no sin was made sin for us, now we can see that we have rest, and we have rest in Christ. But when we think of someone sitting, that idea of something complete or a time of rest comes to mind. But when we contrast that with standing, we see the attitude of a servant. We see one who is ready to do and to serve. Now, when we see here in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ standing, it makes us also think of how, once he ascended back to heaven, we normally see him mentioned in the Word of God as seated. Think of Hebrews chapter 1, for example, beginning of that wonderful book of Hebrews. Let me just read to you first verse or two. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now notice the things that are attributed to him. Continuing in verse 2, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Did you catch that? After this list of seven superiorities of Christ, here at the end of those, it says that he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So instead of thinking of him as one standing, much of the time we think of him seated at the right hand of the Father. But here, we're thinking of him standing. There was one time, once he ascended to heaven, that it does mention that he was found standing, or at least there's the reference to that in Acts 7. Remember the first martyr of the early church? In Acts 7, we see that man Stephen. And what do we find concerning our Lord? In Acts 7 and 55, after this long exhortation by Stephen and the people that were there after the explanation of the things of the Old Testament, and he then said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." Well, they took up stones to stone him. In verse 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." So there we see this wonderful and exciting, in one sense, a tremendously exciting conclusion to a man's life, in the sense that here he saw the very Son of God. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing on the right hand of God. And I believe this may be a salute to the very first martyr of the church age, as he was standing there, seeing and receiving him up into heaven, as he was willing to stand himself, this one Stephen, for the cause of Christ. A wonderful passage there. And now, as we have just thought a little bit about what does it mean to see one standing, as it represents service to God and ministry, and yet now we look at John 20, and we see in John 20 and 21 these four stands of the resurrected Christ. We see first, Mary sees the Lord Jesus standing as he is comforting the brokenhearted. Chapter 20, verse 14. Then we see the Lord is strengthening the frightened in verse 19. With the disciples. And then thirdly, we see the reassuring of a doubter in verse 26, being one called Doubting Thomas, one of the disciples. And fourthly, we see him restoring the backslider. That's in chapter 21, verse 4, we see Peter, another disciple. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ comforting, strengthening, reassuring, and restoring these not areas that the Lord Jesus Christ works in even today? Is he in his great ministry of his present ministry? Is he is the one who is the great high priest, who is the advocate for us, the one who is the head of the church, the one who is the mediator between God and man? And as we see these areas of his present ministry, we see him as one that is our comforter, one that is strengthening us, one that is reassuring us, and one that is restoring us. Of course, as the Spirit of God works in today's age in these areas, we know that all works together. But yet, Christ is the one seated in the heavenlies, interceding on our behalf as our great high priest. And as we think of these different areas, I'd like to just pause and read a part of our passage today. When you count these two chapters together, it's rather lengthy, but let me read at least part of John 20. The first day of the week cometh, Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now I'll just pause after verse 1. If we were to turn to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we would see in those that are called the Synoptic Gospels, that are very similar to one another, we would see more details about the resurrection. But here in our study of John, let's move on. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went in the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And she wept, he stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they saw, say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And we'll just pause right there at end of verse 13. Here, at this point, we begin seeing the four stands of the Lord Jesus Christ and the four areas of how we see him ministering to people in his post-resurrected time on the earth. But the part of John 20 that I have read to you already speaks to us about the area of the resurrection. And isn't it quite interesting that these verses that speak about John and Peter running to the tomb and finding it empty, if you examine the words spoken there of how they stooped down and looked in. And then it goes on to say how the other disciple looked in and contemplated is what the word means. And then thirdly, one looked in and believed. It's a progressive thought here as we see three different areas, three different ways of looking. beholding as in just kind of interested, wanting to know what's going on. Another as in contemplating, and yet another one as it is of a greater meaning as he believes. So do we come to the empty tomb of Christ just looking, or are we really considering it? Or yet do we believe what we know has been done by the Word of God, that he has died, buried, and has risen again? Here, as we consider these things, we see the completion of the gospel, for without the resurrection of Christ, his death would have been in vain. Our faith is in vain, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, if it was not for the resurrection. Well, thank you for being with us today. We hope that you'll join us next Sunday morning at 10:15 for the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. This is Mike Moody, along with Jeff Buckles, saying have a good week. We will keep you in